Thank you. As usual, we're joined by University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
Scott McKay is away this week. Instead, we're joined by the politics economics reporter for WPRI.com, Ted Nesi. Thank you for joining us, Ted.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest the president of the Rhode Island Senate, Dominic Ruggiero. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Ian. Good morning to everyone.
A decision released this week by the U.S. Supreme Court paves the way for Rhode Island to begin offering sports betting this fall at Twin River and Twin River's forthcoming Tiverton Casino. But there are some questions that remain about this big expansion of sports betting. President Ruggiero, how do you come down on this question of whether professional sports leagues should get a slice of the revenue that would be generated in Rhode Island? Do you support that?
At this point in time, no, because there is no precedent for that anywhere in the country. You have Nevada, which has always had sports betting for a long period of time. They don't give that. So I don't see why not only Rhode Island, but any of the other states should provide that to the national teams. The professional teams.
Some of the new online sports companies like DraftKings say that Rhode Island could move ahead without additional action by voters to offer sports betting on the internet. Would you support offering sports betting on the internet as in the near future?
Yes, I would support that. I think that's very important. I think all the other states are going to be offering that because that's the trend nowadays. I just think that right now we should really address the sports betting at the existing facilities because we can do that immediately. We're looking at the legislation to see if there's a need for a referendum or not. So we have not made that determination at this point in time. But the Senate bill that's in there just addresses sports betting at the existing facilities.
Let's go to Ted.
Senate President, I'm curious. So right now the governor has $23.5 million in the budget for the year that starts July 1. She thinks you can get out of sports betting. Where do you come down on that estimate? Do you think she's being too optimistic? Do you think that's conservative? What do you think it'll actually look like?
Well, if we get up and running when we intend to, as far as October 1st, I think that revenue projection is a conservative projection. I think we can obtain more money during the course of the season, because especially in October, all the sports teams are engaged. So there's a lot of things happening at that time of year. So if we're up and running at the time that we anticipate we will be, I think that'll be very helpful, and I think that'll increase our revenue.
I just wanted to agree with you about it as far as the teams getting the professional leagues getting some revenue. I mean, don't they have enough money? I mean, why do they need more? And I hope this carries through as far as the state of Rhode Island and across the country.
Roger Goodell's comp is not going to pay for itself, Maureen.
Yeah, right. About the question about whether you can go ahead and with sports betting without a referendum, why not ask the Supreme Court? Why not get an advisory opinion? I mean, it's there, and it was used, about 10 years ago a lot, and we never seemed to turn to them, and that would solve a lot of problems.
That's a great point, Maureen. That's what we're looking to do. We're hoping to look to get an advisory opinion so we could go forward and make a determination as to what we have to do to enact internet sports betting. So we're looking for a legal opinion on that. We've had some opinions from different groups, different attorneys, who are knowledgeable in this particular arena, but we really don't have a clear-cut decision as to how to pursue it. So I think that will probably be something that we're going to be looking into in the very near future.
Well, let's switch gears and talk about the controversial proposal for the Fain Tower in Providence. Critics say this building is out of scale with the surroundings in the 195 district. Supporters say the investment by an out-of-town developer should be welcomed. President Ruggiero, I'd like to ask you about one other criticism from the opponents. They say that the projections for how much this developer would be able to charge per square foot for condos or apartments is just completely unrealistic for the Providence market. How do you respond?
First of all, I don't know what they're thinking as far as what he's charging. Obviously, that would be up to the owner of the building, what he would be looking for as far as revenue. But I feel that if we're going to attract business to this state, if we're going to attract the Johnson & Johnsons and all those upscale-type companies to this state. I think we have to have a place for these people to live, obviously. We have a tremendous housing shortage in this state, but these people are going to be making very good salaries, and I think that many of them are looking to live in the city of Providence, and I think a tower such as Fane's would probably accommodate a lot of those people that are looking to locate in the state of Rhode Island, the people that might be working at Wexford and all the other developments that we have going right now down in the city. So obviously we need the housing. We need affordable housing for people to live in the city, but we also need the housing for those individuals who are going to come here who are in the highest salary range. So I think it's very important that we have these developers coming in, and I think that particular building in the city of Providence, I thought would be a very iconic type structure for the state of Rhode Island. So I know people are concerned about changing the skyscape of the city of Providence, but that's what all these cities do. I mean, if you look at Boston, down by the waterfront in Boston, that's totally remarkable what they've done down there. So, I mean, I'm not looking for something on that scale in Providence, but we're looking for some kind of development to change the skyline of the city of Providence.
Maureen, the Providence Journal editorializes that opponents of this tower are exhibiting parochialism at its worst. How do you see this proposal?
I tend to agree with it, and I tend again to agree with the Senate president. Wow. Anyway, the thing is, we're not putting this building up in College Hill. We're putting it in a new area. And it as it is, to create a whole new skyscraper and get out of this parochial box, I really think the idea of everything has to match is a little offbeat, and we have to be progressive. My only concern is a building like that is near that park by the footbridge. And my concern is that in some way it'll inhibit people from using that bridge and that park. I mean, I think that's the real concern, that we can guarantee the public space. But as far as the design, I mean, I can't judge aesthetically, but a different iconic building, I think, would be well placed there.
Well, let's get Ted Nisi in here. Ted, you report a lot on the economy. I mean, do you think this is an important bellwether for the signals to outside investors in Rhode Island in terms of whether or not this project goes ahead?
Well, I think there have to be concerns about that. I mean, it is a very large project. It is far beyond the current zoning in that space, as the Preservation Society and others point out, which it's inevitable there's going to be a big debate about that. But I think it's hard to see this apart from the broader context in Rhode Island, which is we have all but stopped building new housing in Rhode Island. And if that's sort of the state's new policy, that we aren't going to add any housing going forward, we've basically capped our population. And we're just going to be a scramble between the people who are here to try to just bid up and bid up and bid up. And that's really going to be a drag on the economy. So while that doesn't mean you have to build the Fane Tower, you have to build something if we want to add people to Rhode Island and keep it affordable. People are saying, why are my kids going to North Carolina? Well, part of it is I know a lot of people my age who can't believe how much more house they get for the same price. So really, there has to be a bigger discussion about that, not just on this tower, but I think more broadly.
President Ruggiero, we're almost out of time here, but I wonder if you're speaking to Providence Mayor Jorge Lorza about this. He seems to be straddling the issue so far. Are you encouraging him to put his political muscle behind the Fane proposal?
I'm hoping that the mayor might sit down with the council and discuss this issue, because the council does have a vote on this particular issue. So I'm hoping that the council will turn this particular situation around.
We're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Maureen.
Thank you.
From WPRI.com, Ted Nisi.
Thanks, Ian.
And the president of the Rhode Island Senate, Dominic Ruggiero.
Thank you very much for having me today.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, you can find a lot more on our website at ripr.org.